You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Wednesday, September 17th. Bomb technicians from the Oregon State Police and Salem Police Departments responded to a report of a suspicious backpack in a public bathroom at a state recreation site in Clatsop County yesterday. A device in the backpack was rendered safe and no injuries were associated with the incident. The backpack was found at Sunset Beach State Recreation Site and is believed to be an isolated incident. State Park staff and Oregon State Police checked multiple locations throughout the day and did not find any other suspicious devices. A criminal investigation is ongoing. Oregon State Police asked that any person with information related to the incident at Sunset Beach contact investigators. Emergency responders in Seaside received a report of two young adults unaccounted for in the ocean near the turnaround on Tuesday afternoon. A female was pulled from the water and a bystander began CPR. Seaside police and fire personnel arrived shortly after and took over resuscitation efforts. The victim eventually regained a pulse. The male victim was also found but did not need any emergency medical intervention at the scene. The female victim was taken to Providence Seaside Hospital. No further information is available at this time. City officials remind beachgoers that the Pacific Ocean presents many dangers, even in calm conditions.
A federal permit that allows Northwest states and some Native nations to trap and kill sea lions in the Columbia River was reapproved last week. The original permit from 2020 was created by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Marine Fisheries Service. It had allowed the removal of roughly 700 sea lions from Bonneville Dam and Willamette Falls in order to help curb sea lions from decimating salmon stocks. Of that approved number, only 230 sea lions were taken. The new permit now allows the remainder of the original permit to be removed. The approach generated immense pushback just prior to the 2020 permit application. Over 20,000 public comments were overwhelmingly against the removal and euthanasia of sea lions. But controversy over the killings has faded in the years since. Senior scientist at the Columbia River Intertribal Fishing Commission, Doug Hatch, says modeling confirms that sea lion removals have helped keep struggling salmon stocks afloat for now. Pacific County's Public Utility District No. 2 announced last week that it missed out on federal grant funding to expand fiber-based broadband internet service. Legislation passed in 2021 established the Broadband Equity and Access Deployment Program. It aimed to provide reliable, high-speed internet access throughout the U.S. with a focus on rural and lower-income areas. After a multi-year application process, the Pacific County PUD was ultimately not among the entities recommended by the Washington State Broadband Office to receive the funding. However, the State Broadband Office will be recommending federal funding be routed to Amazon's new Project Kuiper and SpaceX's Starlink. Those two satellite internet services will be available to provide high-speed internet access to Pacific County's underserved areas. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. In this new school year, the Wakayakum School District has welcomed its new superintendent, Ralph Watkins. Before moving to Kathlamet, Watkins spent the last 12 years in Alaska. He says his time working in Alaskan villages taught him a lot about community and how to work with indigenous populations. Watkins says he recently published a book called Leading with Purpose, a leadership framework for non-Native school leaders who serve in predominantly Native schools. In his initial job search, Watkins says he focused on smaller, close-knit communities like Kathlamet to ensure a quality education for every student every day. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Wakayakum County Eagle, online at wahEagle.com. Washington state leaders are warning health insurance prices will skyrocket next year if federal lawmakers let Affordable Care Act insurance subsidies expire. The pandemic-era tax credits reduce the cost of insurance purchased on the Washington Health Plan Finder. They are set to expire in 2026. Washington U.S. Representative Kim Schreier joined other Democratic lawmakers, including U.S. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, at Overlake Medical Center in Bellevue on Friday. Schreier says if subsidies aren't extended, many Washingtonians will lose their health insurance.
They're not going to have access to primary care. They're only going to get care once they are seriously ill. They're going to get it in the emergency department where it costs the most. And we're going to see more hospitalizations, more serious illnesses, and worse outcomes.
The group is calling on congressional Republicans to extend the Obamacare subsidies permanently, since they control both the House and the Senate. If the subsidies expire, state officials estimate around 80,000 people in Washington will lose their health insurance. Unemployment in Washington is lower than forecasters had predicted this June, and Idaho appears not to be on track for a deficit anymore, despite slower-than-expected revenue collections. Spokane Public Radio's Owen Henderson has more from two new statewide economic reports.
Updated data in the most recent report from Washington's Economic and Revenue Forecast Council shows the state's job numbers didn't fall the way the council had expected at the start of the summer. Revised historical numbers and stronger-than-predicted growth kept statewide unemployment at 4.5%, where it sat for the last several months. Health services and social assistance job numbers saw the largest increase in the private sector this summer, while the largest decrease was in administration and support services. State revenue for the last month is slightly higher than expected at $4.5 million. Across the state line, Idaho's revenue collections continue to come in lower than forecasters had predicted, but a new report from the Idaho Legislative Services Office suggests a budget deficit is no longer on the horizon. The revenue from the first 2 months of this fiscal year was about $23 million, nearly 3% under predictions from the State Financial Management Division. In response to lagging revenues, Governor Brad Little last month ordered a temporary 3% budget cut across departments, excluding K-12 public schools. The shortfall in collections comes after the state legislature and governor passed more than $450 million in tax cuts earlier this year. I'm Owen Henderson, reporting.
In Tacoma, Mary Bridge Children's Hospital has decided not to start any more pediatric patients on gender-affirming medical treatment. NWPB's Lauren Gallup reports.
The hospital says this is in response to the Trump administration's executive order to block federal funding for hospitals that offer this kind of care. They fear the hospital's participation in Medicaid would be impacted. Some community members are outraged by the hospital's decision.
We are not weak.
It's just healthcare that we seek.
We are not silent. We are not weak.
This is an attack on the trans community and our human right to health care, and its compliance in advance with a fascist policy from our federal administration.
Zev Cook is a community organizer running for the Tacoma City Council. She and hundreds of others rallied in Tacoma's Wright Park, asking the hospital to reverse this policy. She says evidence shows that gender-affirming health care for trans youth helps reduce rates of suicide and self-harm.
This is incredibly important to make sure that we can raise children who can live full lives as themselves and participate fully in our community.
Washington State is suing the Trump administration over the executive order concerning gender-affirming care. The state attorney general's office says there's a preliminary injunction in this lawsuit. That injunction protects all providers in Washington. I'm Lauren Gallup in Tacoma.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday, until October 1st. Starting on October 1st, KMUN will no longer be carrying NPR programming. That includes the morning and evening news. This is a change that is coming about because of the federal rescission bill, which clawed back significant amounts of funding meant to go to community and public radio stations just like KMUN. For us, it meant a hit to about 20% of our budget. Going forward, starting at 7:59, you'll hear news and public affairs programming. At 8:30, local and regional news will begin and run until 8:59. We hope you continue to tune in. If you have questions, concerns, or comments, you can send those to feedback@kmun.org. You can also reach out to the KMUN News Department by emailing us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org. We'll see you tomorrow.